It's nice to be here. Obviously, I'm Charles Monroe. That's my wife, Pam. That's my daughter, Caitlin. And that's my grandson, Monroe. I don't know where he got that name from. But he certainly reminds me of somebody I remember about that age. Mm. Thank you for the opportunity to be here. And as much as I may make light of it, my spirit is all here and it's all in. If we could take a moment to pray. Father, as this service progresses, we thank you for this opportunity to come here together as a congregation, as a group of faithful people that are here to learn, are here to understand, are here to support as we hear your word. We ask these things in the name of your Son, Jesus. Amen. Our scripture lesson for this morning comes from Matthew 14, verses 22 to 33. Hear now the word of the Lord. After the crowd had eaten and were satisfied, immediately Jesus made the disciples get into the boat and go before him to the other side while he dismissed the crowds. After he had dismissed the crowds, he went up on the mountain by himself to pray. When evening came, he was there alone. But the boat by this time was a long way from land, and it was being beaten by the waves because the wind was against them. And in the fourth watch of the night, he came to them walking on the sea. But when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were terrified and said, "It is a ghost." And they cried out in fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them, saying, "Take heart, it is I. Do not be afraid." And Peter answered to him, "Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water." He said, "Come." So Peter got out of the boat and walked on the water and came to Jesus. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid. And beginning to sink, he cried out, "Lord, save me." Now Jesus immediately reached out his hand and took hold of him, saying to him, "O you of little faith, why did you doubt?" And when they got into the boat, the wind ceased. And those in the boat worshiped him, saying, "Truly you are the Son of God." Amen. Let us pray once again. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Good morning again. First, I'd like you to thank you for giving me this opportunity. When Janie reached out a few weeks back, I was in a place that had me looking at the future or the next leg of my life journey. Let's just say it was a time for a change. I'm currently supposed to be retired. I'm not very good at it. Over the course of my workaday career, my most rewarding time was not behind the desk, talking on the phone, or even being in a boardroom somewhere on earth somewhere. It was being in a room with believers in a loving environment most of the time, speaking with a group of friends about God's work and what part I could play in it and what we could play in it. I was able to do that quite a bit here in the States, but believe it or not, I was able to do that in many countries around the world where believers were there and were very interested in hearing what I had to share. Again, I'm very appreciative of this opportunity you guys have given me this morning. So let's get started, but first let's pray. Lord, may the words of my mouth and meditations being pondered by those present be acceptable to you and bring understanding from you as we offer praise to you. Lord, we know you are our Holy Father and you are our friend. But most of all, you are our rock and our Redeemer, Lord. Amen. We just read from Matthew's chapter 14. If we look at just two chapters in Matthew before what we read, we would find that Jesus and his disciples are accused of working on the Sabbath by the Pharisees. We would see that Jesus and his disciples were eating grain as they walked along beside a field because they were hungry. And it just so happened it was the Sabbath. Well, according to the Pharisees, it was against the law to pick grain. And they had to pick the grain, or I guess they could have just eaten it off of the wheat plants themselves, but they had to pick it, and that was considered working. And that was illegal on the Sabbath. In response to this accusation, Jesus reminds the Pharisees of a story about David, where he and his troops and companions entered a church and actually ate the consecrated bread on the Sabbath day because they were hungry. He went on to speak of many other occasions where Jewish laws had been broken on the Sabbath, not in earnest, but simply a need to become part of another day in the life of kindred believers where it was deemed out of necessity. Thinking about consecrated bread, sorry, I'm bringing this up a little bit. It reminds me of some time, probably 30 plus years ago, when a couple of my nieces and nephews got into the communion service set and had their way with some little cups of juice and bread cubes that was supposed to be used for communion. Our ruling elder nearly blew a gasket. She was pretty upset, as was my mother. Getting back on track. Matthew 13 is full of stories and parables that Jesus shared all the while sitting in a boat out from shore. Jesus explains that the knowledge of the secrets of the kingdom of heaven had been given to the disciples and to the believers, but not to the non-believers. Whoever has will be given more, and they will have an abundance. But whoever does not have, he would say, even what they have will be taken from them. Just before our given reading in chapter 14, the first 13 verses give us an account of the fate of John the Baptist. At the hearing of this news, we see Jesus withdrawing, trying to take a boat to get away from people so he can mourn the loss of his friend. He needs some time alone. He needs to pray after the demands of the day. Now he seeks silence and solitude with his Father. When Jesus arrives at the beach, he is met by all the folks he had left trying to find somewhere to recharge. Scripture tells us that there were upwards of 5,000 people gathered to see Jesus. Now they are together again, and Jesus has compassion for them, like he always does. Tired in the morning, his compassion for them, does have compassion for them, heals your sick and actually feeds them, all 5,000, with just a few fish and a few loaves of bread. Christian artists have often depicted Christ alone in the wilderness or on a mountainside, looking up at the heavens, reminding us that prayer begins not with words, but with presence. Before we speak with God, we learn simply to be with Him. Today's gospel reveals three beautiful ways of praying, each unfolding at different moments in the story. Together, they form a complete picture of Christian life. We hear the cry from Peter's cry from the stormy waters, Lord, save me. It is perhaps the shortest prayer in the Gospels, yet one of the most powerful, and certainly one that has been uttered by me and many others here today. In today's lectionary scripture, Peter has stepped out of the boat onto the water in faith, but his focus is lost and fear overwhelms him as he begins to sink. We can all relate to that experience. There are moments when life's difficulties threaten to engulf us, when our self-confidence disappears, and we have little strength left. In those moments, even a heartfelt cry is enough to get our response from God. In our story, Jesus immediately reaches out his hand and helps Peter back up and gets him into the boat. This scene has inspired many artists because it captures the tenderness of our God. Our God who never ignores the sincere cry of someone in need. He never ignores our needs. On the contrary, think about how many times we find ourselves ignoring situations, choosing to avoid eye contact, simply going on about our business, thinking, what do I have to offer in this situation? Or worse, you say, I don't have time to deal with this now. Especially when you think about the times that you see a woman struggling with a child, and perhaps a friend is going through a tough time. We make excuses rather than going and comforting them in their time of need. Those times are where simple gesture lets them know that they are not alone. These are moments and opportunities we often share as part of the Christ-like lives that each one of us are freely given to use and share as we're called. Finally, when the wind has fallen and the peace returns, the disciples worship Jesus, proclaiming, truly you are the Son of God. And their fear gives way to wonder and praise. Truly you are the Son of God, and the fear of the way of wonder and praise. Gratitude naturally follows every encounter with God's saving grace and peace. The movement from silent communion to trusting petition to joyful praise is a rhythm of healthy spiritual life. We all find it easy to cry out when we're struggling. Yet today's gospel gently invites us also to take time for quiet contemplation and for heartfelt thanksgiving. And it also invites us to extend the hand of Christ, to let his light show through our thoughts and deeds. So the questions remain. Is the light in our hearts shining for all to see? Have we determined our route for our lives? Have we taken time out for God? Have we gotten enough rest for those times so that we don't get blown off course? And the most important question of all is, are we all on board with what God has planned for us?